Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to episode 244 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on November 30th, 2016, and my name is Dan Gorman. Hello, I'd like to order an escort. Where? How about to Orgasmville?
My name is Casey Lyons, and okay, how do you want me to pay? Ask, gas, or grass? Because I only got one of them.
My name is Greg LeGros, and was that a tear? How do you people do it? Do you poke yourself in the eye, or are you thinking right now, my dog is dead? My dog is dead.
Man, we're back. We have tons of stuff to talk about. Two of us this week got to watch whatever they wanted to see, while one of us went and saw True Memoirs of an International Spy. We will talk about those, roll for movies next week, and Film Roulette.
Wait,
talk
what?
About. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
True Memoirs I was sure of the an word International Assassin. Yeah, you're right. Oh, okay. I'm going off memory here.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we will talk about those. We'll talk about the OC at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff. If you'd like to email us, info@modernsuperior.com. You can go to iTunes, rate and review us, please. And tell all your friends about us in real life. Before we get too far into the episode, one last advertisement for Video Drunk in Toronto, December 1st to 3rd at the Social Capital Theater on the third floor. Doors are at 7 and 8. Doors are at 7, shows at 8 every day, the 1st, the 2nd, and the 3rd. $5 gets you in, a raffle ticket, and you get to see cool movies and shorts. And so check them out. They're cool. And they like us, and they put our logo on their website.
Yeah,
they're nice. Good. We're nice. Everybody's nice. It's good.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about the missing episode last week.
Yeah.
But I was a little busy.
Yeah.
Being a dad again.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Extra baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess. Well, no, just...
bonus baby?
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. So our little guy was born a little bit early. But he's perfectly healthy.
Yep.
His name is Walter Maverick Picardel Lyons, mm-hmm. And he's a perfect little
amazing.
Gentleman.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's a good-looking boy.
Totally. He's a fine-looking little gentleman, mm-hmm. And Beatrice could not be less enthused about sharing our attention.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Anyway, so. It's enough of that. I just, you know. I'm happy I got a little guy.
Yeah.
And thanks for waiting a week for our episode, listeners.
Yeah,
we got lots of people saying, like, hope everyone's okay, and that was really nice to see. People were very sweet about that.
Yeah.
But lots of movie news and things to talk about, specifically that we were supposed to talk about last week, as suggested by our listeners.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the Skull Island trailer, I assume?
Yes.
Yes.
I remember that now.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
I've watched it a few times.
Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys think other than that it's great? Steve Brule's in it.
I think that's amazing.
What in the sweet fuck is going on? Yeah. Even his jacket says "For Your Health."
I know.
What the fuck?
I love it.
That's great.
I was completely sold when I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, giant monkey movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge.
Really big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, it's a big monkey.
Yeah. But even compared to other King Kong, like this is like they're going 300 feet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're doubling up.
Here's the monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I read a thing, the director was like, yeah, you know, there's this weird, like, some unwritten rule that all monster movies, you have to wait for an hour before you see the monster.
Yeah.
And we were like, fuck that.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, they're just like getting right into it. They're like, we're showing you right in the trailer. There's
awesome.
A giant ape in this movie. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm on board for that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Great cast.
I think that's great. I think it's also kind of weird, though, because, like, that's very much a Gareth Edwards thing with, you know, his Godzilla.
Yeah.
And something I didn't know about, actually, is that they're tying this. Like, it's a new cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Like, big
really
monster.
Big monsters. Yeah, Godzilla, King Kong.
Yeah.
They're
leading
universe.
Towards that, right?
Yeah, it's happening. It's been greenlit.
Yeah. Sweet. I'm glad that the director said that because I like the Peter Jackson King Kong, but fuck if we're for so long.
Yeah. It is really good, though.
Yeah,
I thoroughly enjoyed that movie.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I've been really wanting to rewatch it.
Oh, yeah. It's terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Brian, our listener, wanted us to talk about something that we might not have talked about otherwise, the Cars 3 teaser trailer. Did you guys see this?
No.
No.
Okay.
And Brian, why would I watch that?
Here's the thing.
I mean, I have kids and I wouldn't watch that.
Yeah.
It got a lot of press because I watched it. It is all these shots of like NASCAR racing and stuff, and they don't really do it up like Cars. It looks like pretty hyper realistic.
Uh-huh.
And then they cut to the like slow motion of, I guess, the main character's car, Lightning McQueen, like doing insane flips, like it's just had an insane crash and it's like nothing will be the same. Like, it's bleak as hell, this trailer. It is like, here is a hyper realistic Daytona USA crash thing where like the main character could be dead or like hospitalized, like the car. Like, it looks
That's
grim.
Really weird.
I hope it's not that. I hope what it is that he spins out of control and then flies into the crowd and kills a bunch of people. And then the rest of the movie is just him dealing with how he killed a bunch
of
people.
Like, it really does look like they might take some of that. Like, oh, he's dealing with, like, getting back after like a, you know, career-ending crash.
Right.
Like, it, they're not messing around.
Like the third act of Days of Thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm interested to see what they do with the next teaser, if it's just going to be like, fun times.
Yeah, weird. I had no idea. Now I will watch that teaser.
I'm still not interested, but in a completely different way.
Yeah. Well, everyone knows that the Cars movies are the bottom of the barrel for Pixar.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, they did those Planes ones too, right?
Well, I didn't even register as
even out
existing.
Of the barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's the straight to video version of a shitty series,
and
it stars Dane Cook.
Yeah.
God, does it?
Jesus.
Oh, great. Wow.
In the long tradition of talking about some comic book stuff right off the top, our friend Andrew Paulson wanted to know what we think of the Kung Fu Panda director helming the Bone adaptation. So this is happening apparently.
I think that's fine. I like the Kung Fu Panda stuff. It's really entertaining. It's thematically wildly different from Bone, which is fairly heavy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on there. So I was really shocked to even hear they were doing this.
Because
it's not a kid's thing at all, Bone.
No.
No. So
even though it kind of looked like it from afar as
kiddie,
a kid.
But yeah. It's Holocaust stuff, you know? So, good. The Kung Fu Panda stuff moves well. It looks good. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
You just, as long as you're paying attention, as long as this guy is paying attention to the material and knows the importance of it or what it's trying to say or what it's about, then
you don't think they'll try to family it up.
Well, I don't know how you could even. So.
Yeah. And the last movie this guy made was The Little Prince last year, which got like a lot of really good press. Like that was like a very grown up.
Yeah.
It had crazy distribution problems.
Yeah.
Like, And I guess the movie kind of got a bit fucked over, but yeah, there was a lot of critical praise for it.
Yeah.
I could give a fuck because I don't know anything about The Little Prince, so it's not sort of within my wheelhouse.
Is Dune within your wheelhouse?
Give it another go. Why
yeah,
not?
Very peripherally, yeah. But yeah, now I'll definitely check out the David Lynch one just to see what's coming down the pike.
Have you not seen the David Lynch one?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've seen it just a very long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not one of those people who's like, if you look past the faults, it's actually pretty good. I'm just one of those people who's like, it's got a lot of faults, and I don't like it because of that.
It does. It's... I like Dune, Lynch's Dune, mm-hmm. in its own way, because it has a look to it that I can really get on board with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, and there's enough scenes that are good, that are interesting anyway. But I mean, it's done, and you're like, oh. You know?
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a mixed bag. But I've seen it like a number of times. I can't help myself. And it's one of those things that you feel like, well, wait a minute. All the pieces are there. Visually stunning.
Yeah.
Cool cast.
Yeah.
It's Lynch.
Yeah.
Those fucking sandworms are dynamite.
They are great.
Yeah. And so you watch it.
Eclipsed only by the sandworms in Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah. Very true. And then, yeah, it's just a big clumsy. Something's wrong. I don't know. Just not right. Mm. And I didn't watch the super long miniseries.
No.
The redo thing. Because I was just like.
No, that looks just laborious.
Yeah.
It just looked like another, we'll do it right this time.
Yeah, I don't know. Just like The Shining. Yeah.
I was just going to say. This time we'll get Stephen Webb.
Who'd you get from Wings?
Yeah.
This time we're going to get Crystal Bernard to star in this
great,
thing.
Great.
Anybody Crystal Bernard reference? Cool. Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
We're good.
What's the? I don't even remember what the scoop is on this.
It's
new,
just legend. Legendary.
Do they have anyone attached or anything?
No.
Some producers signed on. Aren't
I think
they?
So.
I feel like somebody. I went. Oh.
Yeah. Someone not terrible was like, yeah, I'll fucking take a run at that. Who? I gotta find out.
All right. Let me see here. Dune. Legendary gets rights to Dune.
Yep.
I'm not seeing a name.
I'm gonna find it.
Legendary lands rights to classic sci-fi novel Dune. Frank Herbert Estate has worked out an agreement, which includes both the film and television motion picture rights.
Why did that mention Denis Villeneuve?
Well, he said he wanted to do something last September, but this is...
Let me see here what Variety says.
Yeah, I'm looking at
getting
movie
the scoop.
This is good podcasting.
The projects would be produced by Thomas Tull, Mary Parent, and Cale Boyter, with Brian Herbert, Byron Merritt, and Kim Herbert serving as executive producers.
Who are they? Who's Mary Parent? That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't matter. It's a hard bit of sci-fi literature to tackle. There's a lot going on. A lot of moving parts, and it's not easy to convey them all correctly to kind of get what everybody wants, you know, which is...
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ideas and angles that people want focused on in this, because it is a big world that has a lot of theory and philosophy in it, right?
Yeah.
As like any really good sci-fi would. So most really good sci-fi literature is really, really hard to put on the screen because it's thematically complicated.
yeah, and its nuance is what makes its own sort of special thing.
For sure.
So, who knows? Maybe somebody else will fuck it up, but I'm sure with what they can do with movies today, they'll fuck it up in an interesting way.
Well, at least Mary Parent produced Monster Trucks, so we're on the right track.
I am kind of excited to see that dumb thing.
Monster Trucks?
Yeah,
that's stupid enough to make me go, I don't know, what do you got?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you two? You seriously watch that trailer and go, this I gotta see.
I'm not gonna go to the theater.
No, I watch that movie, that trailer, and I go, I will press the hell out of play on Netflix.
Yeah, that thing rolls up on Netflix. Whatever, you've watched Transformers twice, you fucking maniac.
Oh, don't assume it was just twice.
Yeah, no, I'm like, monster in a monster truck, I'm in. Mm-hmm. and then there was a couple other things on our list, but was there anything you guys wanted to talk about?
Yeah, while we're kind of still in the realm of nearby talking about comic books, there was an email from Tony in Chicago, Tony D'Amico, we got that we didn't address last episode.
Yeah.
He was talking a little bit about stuff from the Logan trailer, and talking about time travel and Cable and all that getting worked in, and possibly if that's how they're going to do reboot stuff, and that it's leading into the upcoming. He thinks also that this will probably wrap into the upcoming New Mutants movie, which I think New Mutants is probably a great way for them to continue to recycle and get their way out of holes that they've dug in this gigantic, weird, moving X-Men franchise that's, I think, out of steam.
Yeah.
And I think after the big Logan movie, is just, they really got to just kind of reshape the whole thing. New Mutants is a really cool title. And honestly, having something like that as a movie to dig into, if they're smart about it, is a very timely story to tell with timely themes. Because the X-Men, the explosion of the X-Men and the mutants in the 80s was all about racism and segregation of class.
Right.
And a lot of the complications that were going on with that in America at that time. And those things didn't go away very clearly. It's a great template to tell a lot of stories, maybe not beat people over the head with it, but it's an open area there. There's some great characters in the New Mutants. It was a really well-drawn comic when it first came out, and it had a darker tone for a comic book that was all about little kids becoming superheroes. So that's really cool. And if they do want to whip around and throw some X-23 in there, and that's how they're going to make her work, I know they're going to fuck with the team, and it's not going to be just, you know, Cannonball and eventually Warlock and shit like that. It's not going to work that way, but it'll probably be good. I'm hopeful for that, and I could see this hopefully turning the X-Men franchise into something worthwhile, particularly if Logan is critically and financially successful and is a veer off and just tells a good story and not just worrying about expanding a universe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, I love it when you write in, Tony. Thanks, buddy.
Was there anything else you guys want to talk about? Do you want to get into just things that we've been watching? Because I'm sure we've been seeing a lot. It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wants to start?
You think.
Casey, you want to jump in here? What have you watched?
Well, why don't I? Because I almost brought up something the last time we recorded, but then I thought that I would wait until you guys had seen it as well. Mm-hmm. Did you guys check out The Monster?
I watched it.
You did. You both watched it.
Yeah, I watched that movie.
I totally watched it.
Okay, so what did you guys think of The Monster?
Well, I hated that movie.
It's an awful movie.
It's so bad.
Dan, I thought it was okay.
Uh-huh.
And I thought there was things about it that I really liked, and that it was almost there, and that the biggest problem with that movie for me was it sets up a really great story with a relationship, and I felt like going into the middle to the section of that movie, I was like, this movie's really laid the foundation of like an interesting thing that I'm going to want to watch. And then when it became its monster movie, then I was like, well, now I don't care.
Yeah.
But then I found when it got to the end, I was like, well, you ended on a note that I really liked. And I felt like the production value was there. The acting was there. I thought the relationship was great. I just felt like you guys really fucked up the central thing. And I liked everything else about it, except for that it was a monster movie.
Right. I didn't like the acting. I thought the acting was bad.
I thought the acting was just awful. Like, before I saw this movie, I really liked Zoe Kazan. Now I'm like, oh, God. Well, first of all, I like how it's two movies that I didn't like. A really thin, boring indie film about a bad mom who does drugs and dyes her hair crazy colors.
Yeah.
And then it turns into a monster movie.
She has dyed hair.
Yeah.
It's not, like, that's not really central
reading,
to the plot.
You're reading into it a little.
But then it becomes this monster movie that I'm like, okay, I respect the fact that it's all practical effects and stuff like that. And that's a lot of fun. And I like that it's a real, you know, it's a real like low budget looking monster.
Yeah.
I understand that they were really trying to go for something there, but I'm like, but this monster movie is clumsy and shitty.
Yeah.
Like this is by somebody who doesn't understand how to direct a monster movie.
And, or a movie. You spend the whole time with bad mom and her daughter in the car, and then their backstory is told through flashbacks.
Yeah.
And all the flashbacks are so like angst up to 11 and overwrought. I felt like I was watching improv vignettes of high school students doing a thing about parenting going wrong. Everything was so like, give me the drugs, man.
Yeah.
And so horrible. It had all the subtlety of a 90s song with a message.
Oh my God.
Oh, so clumsy.
Yeah, this was the monster presented by Soul Asylum. Yeah, I felt the same way. Like, I thought that the indie movie aspects of this were so thin and just like, how are we going to set up that she does drugs? Well, she'll just say she does drugs a lot.
Yeah.
And then she'll tell her daughter to fuck off.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. I'm like,
Well, I'm pretty sure she never said anything about doing drugs, but they do argue about getting keys to go get alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But she never said, I do drugs.
Yeah.
I don't love this movie, but I thought that there was enough in it that I was disappointed when it didn't make it where I wanted it to go.
The biggest thing for me at the end was like her big moment where she's finally a mom and she. I don't want to spoil this because people might want to see it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But she does something and then it's like, oh, you didn't need to do that at all.
At all.
What you did here affected nothing.
Nothing at all.
So what is the fucking point? You just proved that you are a mom, but in a good movie, that would have counted. Yeah. But it did not count in this movie.
I felt like it counted.
But it didn't...
Because I felt like where the movie ended with the daughter, I felt like it came around to a point where like the voiceover kind of sold where the daughter was and what was happening to the daughter. I thought it was heavy-handed. Obviously, it's a fucking heavy-handed as hell movie.
Yeah.
But I did feel like when it ended on the note that it ended on, I was like, man, I really wish that you guys had made it to that point and earned that point instead of just like all of a sudden it happened at the end.
Yeah. Listen, there's a way to make this movie good.
I thought the cinematography was fantastic.
Yeah, there was some beautiful monster shots.
It looks very good.
The monster was great until it wasn't. Yeah. But then even when it wasn't, I was like, meh, but it's practical.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
And then I thought the performances were fine. I definitely get the, like, it was all cranked up to 11.
Yeah.
But I definitely came down pretty in the middle about the movie overall.
Yeah. I thought it sucked nuts.
Yeah, I was very unimpressed.
No good.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Listeners, did any of you watch The Monster?
Yeah, what's up? We told you to. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah, I hope somebody did.
Did you guys watch anything else?
Yeah.
What?
What, me?
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
What are you, bashful all of a sudden? Oh, me. Oh, my.
I saw some things, which is nice. I did a little like rewatch of some stuff, which is great. Some holiday wrap up.
Yeah.
I American Thanksgiving just happened, and so of course I do every year, re-enjoyed Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Of course. Oh,
very nice. I will never ever ever tire of that movie.
Yeah, There's no reason to tire of that.
No. Oh my God, I just laugh my ass off through the whole thing.
And then you cry
every line, and then I cry. Yeah, it really got me.
Yeah.
Like, I know it so well that I get choked up in the scenes that are just come for the flashback thing at the end. Like, I know what he means.
Yeah.
I know what he's talking about there. What a fucking delight that movie is. Just a goddamn delight every moment of it. So, 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 so good. And it just feels holiday-ish. Gets you all ready for the Christmas season. It's around the corner. And we're very geared up to just watch an ass ton of holiday films this year. So we... another rewatch on one. And I'm surprised I've seen this movie as many times as I have. But I just had to do it because I just can't help myself. I've got a real soft spot for Jingle All the Way.
Uh-huh.
So, I watched Jingle All the Way.
That came up in conversation today. A friend of mine was like, I'm going to watch Jingle All the Way, I think, because I haven't seen it in years and years and years. Yeah, yeah, and I was like, spoiler alert, it sucks. But
it's amazing.
The way that it sucks is pretty awesome.
Phenomenal. The movie is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Everyone seems like they have some kind of severe emotional disorder.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of it. That is bad movie making at its finest.
You should go right on to number two. Because I've seen it for the show. And I'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
great,
go for
wonderful.
It.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, now I think what I want to do is like watch a bunch of horrible Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Well, not horrible, but, you know, off the mark ones
Christmas
like this
with the
that
cranks.
Are sort of... Is that... Which one's that?
I think that's the one with Tim Allen. Is that Tim Allen? And he's like... Him and his wife hate Christmas, and they're going to try and not have Christmas, but then keeps... Something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
What's the one with Ben Affleck?
I was just going to say.
Surviving Christmas. Yeah. Right. I saw that in theaters.
Whoa, did you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was the only Christmas movie playing that year. Yeah, and I was like, well, I want to see a Christmas movie. Yeah, so right I'm going to go see this one.
Athena just started watching it the other day and had to stop. And she was visibly upset when I got home.
Like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at your wife being visibly upset, but what kind of movie must this
it's
be?
Like, it is so, upsetting.
Like, really
it's
bad.
Crazy.
Like, she's like, it was really making me upset and uncomfortable and angry all at the same time.
Catherine O'Hara is in it.
I think this is going to have to be a loser movie for us at some point, because apparently it's just you've seen it already.
Yeah, I remember being like what is this?
But yeah, I might watch some more bad Christmas movies. I don't know, finding one is... unbelievably
bad.
Insanely bad is Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of anything. I'm not going to be able to come up with anything better or new insights than the How Did This Get Made episode on it, which is truly perfect.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Really great. And that's a great way to spend your holiday season is watch that movie and then listen to that episode. Very good. And as they wisely point out, the whole thing centers around a toy with the name Turbo in it, and Schwarzenegger cannot say Turbo.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Super weird. What about Santa Claus the movie?
I've been really wanting to rewatch that, because when I was a kid, I fucking loved that movie.
Yeah. But apparently, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to rewatch it. But then I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'll get something out of it because I loved it so much when I was a kid.
Sure.
Like, I talked incessantly about. Like, I remember thinking as a kid, I'm talking too much about this movie, but I loved it so much.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
I was very self-aware, and there's a lot of self-loathing when
it's
I was
August.
A kid.
Leave that movie alone. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm going to watch more failed Christmas movies.
Nice.
I can't help it. If you have a favorite bad Christmas movie, listeners, please email me. I will watch it.
Yes. Email us the best, worst Christmas movies, please.
Jingle All the Way is the standard.
Yeah.
So
you gotta beat that.
Jingle All the Way or worse.
Top that. Top that. info@modernsuperior.com. Please send them.
Yeah. It's just so uncomfortable. I think that's the other thing with Jingle All the Way. There's so many scenes that are so wildly uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
Where he's just so...
It feels cocaine-y.
Phenomenally bad. It does.
Yeah.
When he goes in, when he has to go, like, he's trying to make nice with Jake Lloyd for missing his karate thing.
Yeah.
And he's, like, tying the belt on his head and stuff and doing weird karate stuff around the room. Like, this is weird.
Yeah.
So good.
Definitely.
Yeah. Terrific.
I watched a movie that I'll bring up really briefly before I get to something else that I think some other people watched. But I watched the new movie by Ira Sachs. Little Men, which stars Greg Kinnear and a bunch of other people, about a middle schooler whose parents his grandfather dies and his parents inherit this apartment that's above a sort of failing little mom and pop kind of like vintage shop of sorts, and he is friends with the son of the mother who owns this shop. And so there's this kind of little two families thing going on, and the grandfather who passed away was allowing the mom that owns the shop to sort of get by on maybe less money than she could with this sort of gentrification of the neighborhood, and nobody really wants to go to this weird little store anymore. And it's about basically Greg Kinnear and the family need to basically bring the hammer down on this little store and somebody who's kind of a friend of the family, and how the animosity between the owner of the store and the family affects the two young boys who are best friends, but kind of from different worlds. And I loved it. It is the kind of like little intimate indie drama that feels it's not like it's like the exact opposite of the monster. It's the kind of lived in subtle little thing.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched a movie that felt that kind of like, just, it felt good to watch. It just felt, it's not going to like bring tears to your eyes or whatever, but I had a really good time watching this movie, and I think it's a small movie that people should see.
Wicked.
Ira Sachs did Love is Strange, which I have not seen, but I've heard is really good.
Yeah.
The performances in this movie are wonderful. The two kids are fucking amazing.
Wicked.
Yeah, it's like, really quiet, really well done, and it just felt like it's one of those. I've watched a lot of shit lately,
yeah.
And then you go and you watch like a really, really brilliant, like great little movie, and you're like, oh yeah,
movies are wonderful,
yeah, cinema. So I recommend Little Men.
Nice.
But I also wanted to bring up quickly that I mentioned in our thread that I watched all of the new TBS show Search Party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't get around to it.
Okay. No, me either.
So, stars Aaliyah Shawkat and is co-created by Michael Showalter, Sarah Violet Bliss, and Charles Rogers.
Oh, my.
I will say, I won't get into it too much then, but I mainlined the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's all, it all went, they like binge released it like every day, a new episode, all 10 episodes on TBS.
Yeah.
And I will say, the first episode really comes out of the gate in a sort of way, and the show really kind of calms down and gets into a really interesting vibe, and I found with every episode I liked the show more and more and more until I got to the end. I was like, well, that was one of the best shows of the year.
Wow.
So
great.
So if you are a little put off, or like, because it has it's like it has that satire of like, you know, upper class people and girls-esque at the beginning, and you're kind of like, okay, this could be annoying, but it really gets into like some emotional stuff, and you really actually start feeling for the characters in different ways. And the way it turns the mystery, because there's a mystery aspect to it, I won't say too much. But if you like TV and you haven't watched Search Party, you definitely should start watching. I really loved it,
right on.
And I want to talk about it with you guys. I won't say anything.
Nice.
No more.
Yeah.
What about what else with you guys?
Well, I watched something else, something that I was sort of planning on making a weekly habit out of, but it's been sort of hard to do, what with all of the babies coming out of my wife. but we've been trying to commit to watching more Miyazaki films.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people, or a couple people, suggested that I should definitely watch Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I did, and I'm going to continue watching these movies in a segment that I'm calling Miyazaki Night in Canada.
That is amazing.
I watched Howl's Moving Castle, and I am just absolutely hooked on Miyazaki movies.
Nice.
Now. Yeah, yeah.
It's such a different style of filmmaking, of storytelling, than you're used to with North American cinema. So you kind of have to go like, it's interesting. They tell instead of showing in a lot of ways. And then in other ways, it just assumes you understand this world well enough to sort of gloss over other things. So you're left with this really personal experience. It's absolutely fucking wonderful. Like it just transports you to this this whole other kind of world, and it's just a fucking delightful world to live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's something fun about because you know, like they sort of have one thing with Miyazaki films is that they always have really cool people dubbing the English, Billy Crystal is great.
Oh yeah,
in this movie.
Awesome.
Yeah, as a little fire demon.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you were watching like dubbed or subtitles, because I never know what to go to. I know that most people would say don't ever go to the dubbed, because it changes. But at the same time, sometimes they get really cool, interesting people saying, and you never know, like.
And I think that's part of the experience, too, is that I want to know who they got to. Like, because, it's always really interesting cast. And the cast in this one is really great as well.
Right.
Yeah. It's just a fucking absolute wonder. And I can't wait until the kids are a little bit older to show them these movies.
Yeah, that's great.
To kind of get them sort of get this, like, different types of storytelling ingrained in them.
Yeah.
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 Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else, Greg?
I finally finished and then went a little further than just being halfway through episode one of Westworld.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a lot of banter about it on our Facebook.
Got some flack.
I was like, yeah.
James Cain.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, Jimmy Cain, Matt Cawley is really like on board with this.
So, I finally finished episode one the other day.
Yeah.
Phantom Menace.
Yeah. And, I am very... very interested in this show. Where that episode got to, I was really, really taken with. And what really put me over the top and really kind of knocked me out with, it looks great. And it's, you know, obviously there's a lot going on that we'll see uncovered as we go. But the performance from the guy who plays the father.
Yeah.
I won't go into too much detail. Not using spoiler, but the performance from that guy at the end of the episode, when he's sitting down with Anthony Hopkins and he's being told to cycle through all these different, not memories, but programs. That it's one of the most fascinating performances I've seen any actor pull off in a long time. It's like watching a fucking masterclass.
Yeah.
Having Anthony Hopkins sit there and just tell some guy, no, do it like this. Now do it like this. And that guy just killed it. What an amazing and fascinating and thought-provoking performance. And the script from him was just wonderful, and I was just so knocked out by it and the end of that episode. And then I got into the second one, and I'm like, I'm so on board. This is so fucking interesting. It is a huge possibility what they could do with this template. What that kind of fun movie, not kind of fun, very fun movie, set up, there's a huge world to play with. I'm just so, so excited right now with it because, great acting, limitless possibilities. Hopefully they do it right. But from what I've heard from everyone, it just does nothing but get better and better.
Which is great. I really enjoyed the first episode. The second episode made me make a decision. Will I keep going with this? Because I could see it being really great.
Yeah.
But I really wasn't wowed. And there was a lot about the second episode that made me go, I don't like the sterility of the way this is told.
Yeah.
But again, I was like, I could definitely be on board or I could not be on board, and I just haven't picked it back up.
Sure. Well, I'm going to dig in pretty deep, so I'll let you know if I need to anymore.
I want to know what's going on with that maze.
Yeah. What else? What else do you guys want to talk about? I have a lot of stuff, but I'm not going to bring it all up. I did watch, I revisited Sneakers, love that. Movie.
Robert Redford?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that's a great movie.
It's one of my go-tos, just like, what do I put on? I'll put Sneakers on.
Fuck yeah. I've never seen it
a million times.
You haven't seen
Sneakers? You gotta watch Sneakers.
Yeah. Man.
It's so good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So good.
Saw it in the theater with my mom.
Yeah, nice. Drink. Ongoing drinking game.
Oh, yeah, that's a terrific little heist movie.
I love that movie.
What a pace.
So good.
So charming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good Lord.
Great cast,
Yeah.
Crazy thing was kind of a flop when it came out.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And then, real quick, I segued, speaking of hacker movies, into Snowden.
Oh.
A.K.A. Snowden.
Yay! How's his voice?
Oh, it's so weird.
Is it awesome throughout the whole thing?
Lots of people like it, and lots of people like the movie. I've seen lots of, like, pretty good, solid, straight down the middle reviews for it.
A lot of people like the monster, too.
Yeah. and it's weird because Snowden himself shows up at the end of the movie. They do this kind of thing where he's there. And I turned to Emma and I was like, he doesn't even sound like that. He just sounds like a normal guy.
Yes,
why is he like overdoing the accent? Like the accent's in there, his voice, but he's totally overdoing it. Emma kept saying, like, it sounds like he's doing a halfway Buffalo Bill impression.
Yeah, that's what always distracted me, and that's why I sort of want to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, it's fine.
Sure.
I didn't care. It was so boring to me. It was just so boring to me. The movie is structured like they keep cutting back to what the documentary was. We're all in the hotel room and we're like, he's basically blowing the whistle, which the documentary was just all that.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it, but I heard it's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then the movie just keeps cutting back and forth between that and his life. And so much of it is spent on his relationship, which is fine, but it seems very kind of like, well, we got to have like a, you know, relationship story in here. So it just, I don't know, it felt fucking boring. I kept wanting to fall asleep, but I didn't,
because
I had to finish it.
How, why does the real Snowden show up? Is it like a,
be like,
if you're here and I'm here, but what?
Yeah, it was like a body switch. It was all of a sudden, it was like 18 again. Like, hey, no,
it was a real mild version of 18 again, where he switched with himself.
18 months ago. it's just kind of a thing where at the end of the movie, all of a sudden he's being interviewed and it's the real guy. It's like there's no real, like, I mean, they creatively find a way to transition to that, but Yeah, it's not really
worth... He just shows up to go, I don't sound like that.
Yeah, it's not really worth getting into. But that movie is boring, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. Great. That's Oliver Stone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't make
mostly,
good movies.
Yeah. I've been kind of on a weird, every once in a while, Oliver Stone kick with Talk Radio and Platoon. That's a great movie. Talk Radio is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Platoon's great. Wall Street's great.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. You don't like Wall Street.
Wall Street's... A-okay. What else do you guys want to talk about? Anything?
I watched Scrooged again.
Great.
It's still fucking great.
So great.
And every year, more and more, I appreciate David Johansen's performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really something.
Yeah,
like, for somebody who's just a weirdo, who's like, you know, from New York Dolls and then inexplicably, you know,
Buster Poindexter.
Yeah. Like, shit, this guy really fucking has something.
Niagara Falls, Jackie.
Niagara Falls.
It's a bone, you lucky dog.
So good.
So good.
Yeah. Just fucking great. And then we watched a very British animated Christmas thing, Arthur Christmas.
Oh, that's Aardman.
Is it?
Yeah, because I watched, there's like a 50-minute sort of Aardman documentary on Netflix, and I thought, I'll put this on, and they were like, oh, and then we did Arthur Christmas, and I was like... Is that good?
Well, Myos had seen it, and she was like, yeah, we should watch it. It's really good, and we watched it. It's fucking great.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's really, really sweet, and it's got a great voice cast, and it just says a lot about family and a lot about, you know, what Christmas means and stuff. But yeah, it's just, it's really charming and really sweet and very funny.
Yeah.
Ashley Jensen is one of the main voices, and she's dynamite.
Yeah.
I when I was watching the thing and they were showing clips from it, I kept thinking, what is Arthur outside? Because it's like the Luc Besson, like, right? Is it not?
What?
Like, he made this a series of movies called Arthur, and they're like about that guy. And I was like, is this a part of that world? Or is this just their own movie that they called Arthur Christmas?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
They're, like, Luc Besson for a while was like, these Arthur movies are going to be the last things I did. They were 3D animated movies.
And oh, I don't know
like,
what those
I'm going out with this movie called Arthur.
No, I don't think
And it was, like, kind of a sci-fi thing. And I kept thinking, is Arthur Christmas about that? So, I don't
know. No.
I'm probably wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not that.
Yeah.
But well, anyway, it's a real delight.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch that.
I am
okay,
too.
Don't threaten me.
I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not, maybe those movies aren't called Arthur. Oh, yeah, see, Arthur and the Invisibles. He made more than one of them, and I was thinking, is this that?
Arthur.
Oh, those. Yeah, I remember those. Sure. No, this isn't that, and I don't know what this or that is anymore.
Okay, so I just assumed it was a part of that.
I got lost. Yeah. I don't sleep very much anymore.
What's going on with these little elfie fellas?
Well, yeah. I don't like their little faces.
No, so it has nothing to do with that. Okay, you can see my confusion. They're both called Arthur.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get the connection.
And I kept waiting, when's this drunk man going to show up? Yeah, what so else? Great. Anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah.
I watched a couple of other things, but
we'll spread
whatever.
Them out. All right.
Yeah.
Well, then let's go right into Film Roulette.
Okay.
Let's go.
Good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Boom! Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good, or this week, winner's choice, see whatever you want, and the person who rolls low has to go see something terrible, or maybe a Netflix pick with True Memoirs of an International Assassin, but the loser gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. We were given Five Alarm Funk by a listener, technically, and we'll talk about that album, talk about those movies, see what these guys watched for winner's choice, and roll for movies next week, and do it all over again.
Yeah.
Winner's choice. You guys are winners.
Yeah.
How do you guys want to get into what you chose as winners? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I haven't really been getting out of the house, obviously, very much lately. So I stayed in and watched a Netflix pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
A movie that I've been hearing kind of mixed things about. It's a movie that stars Sam Rockwell and Anna Kendrick.
I've almost watched this a couple of times.
I've also reached for this a few times and like, I should.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
It's a movie called Mr. Right.
Yeah.
And you think it's going to be bad. It's written by Max Landis.
And, oh, really? Body Record.
Yeah. And then you watch this, and I'll tell you, it's a goddamn delight.
Okay.
Great.
Because this played
TIFF, watch it.
And I remember seeing some people saying really great things about it, but then as a Max Landis production is probably, going to get, there were some people saying this is terrible. And so I didn't know where it was going to land.
If you remember my review of that ultra super...
Yeah. American Ultra.
There you go.
Also written by Max.
Yes. Mm. It was a movie that was a lot of fun and really relied on performances to be good, because the story itself was kind of like, what? Mr. Right is another movie that's very much the performances make it.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick is the most charming human being. I think of all time. She is so wonderful that you could just watch her be this character for, hours and hours and never get tired of it. Sam Rockwell, of course, is great.
Yeah.
And he plays a former, government hitman turned, I think private contractor guy turned... rogue, I guess.
Right.
But he's very in tune with the sort of flow of the universe, and that's what makes him such a good killer. And so he's doing a lot of his... You know how everyone loves to watch Sam Rockwell dance?
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of that, and you're wicked. Like, God damn, that guy can dance. But
he's terrific dancing.
He really is. And the chemistry between the two of them is just absolutely wonderful. And again, I cannot reiterate enough, this movie does not rely on the strength of its script or its direction or anything like that. A lot of elements of this movie are pretty banal and pretty standard.
Yeah.
But the performances, everybody's having so much fun in this movie that it's... It so elevates the material to the point where it's such a fun movie to watch. And you've got a fun supporting cast. Tim Roth is great.
Nice.
He just shows up to kind of go, hey, I'm doing a Tim Roth thing, and it's wonderful. James Ransom is in it, and that guy's just in every movie I watch now.
Yeah.
And he's a little... he's chewing up the scenery a little bit, but he's fine at it. So and he's been so great in other things. I gotta say it's a rainy day, you got nothing else to put on, put it on and you'll be very charmed by it.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna watch that then.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
great. I was
news.
Wondering because
a bunch of times I'm like, I don't wanna get disappointed and bored by a movie right now. I'm not
And like Landis, for his one really solid hit, he also did stuff like Victor Frankenstein,
Oh, that was him.
Yeah, well, written.
Yeah,
and he wrote and directed something that went to festivals. I can't remember what it's called, but apparently that's like actually really bad. But yeah.
And again, it's not the strength of the movie itself.
And I looked the director up on IMDb, and it's like, did the Nicolas Cage movie Rage and, you know, some other stuff that doesn't look very good.
Yeah.
Again, it's all very, very standard.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who else shows up in this movie is RZA.
Oh, great.
And guess what? He is the fucking best.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's not in more movies, because he's just a fucking delight too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah. What did you watch?
I did a little catch up on some 2016 that I'd been meaning to get around to. And I checked out Hell or High Water.
I was actually going to check that out, but then again, I've been sort of sequestered.
Sure.
For the listeners,
Jeff Bridges, Chris Pine, Ben Foster, Chris Pine and Ben
Hell
Foster.
Of a cast,
yeah, really good. Pine and Foster play brothers, and this is Middle America.
Yeah.
They are sort of a look at the economic crisis, and they're two guys who are kind of pushed to the edge. One brother has a criminal background, the other one doesn't, but a desperate need of money. And so it's a little bank robber heist movie with Jeff Bridges as the sheriff who's hunting him down.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And it's a lot of themes you've seen before, a lot of archetypes you've seen before, but it's done with such style and such such solid performances. It's just magical.
Yeah.
What a great fucking movie. Jeff Bridges, of course, fantastic.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing he's just built to
dialed
do
in.
Fantastically. You know? like he's kind of settles into his drawl is perfect for this. You know, if you think back to like, you know, Texasville. Or,
is
you know,
he
Last
doing
Picture
his,
Show.
His Rooster Cogburn again?
No. He's not quite that loose, but it's not far away either. This is, I think, the best work I've seen Chris Pine do.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I know it's the best work I've seen Ben Foster do.
He's done some good work.
He has done some good work, but that guy,
he was great in 3:10 to Yuma.
He can get so off the fucking chain, though. Like,
yeah.
It's a little too showy a lot of the time.
Yeah, I get
where
that.
Like, somebody's got to tell him to settle down. but there's always, I mean, there's an undeniable talent there in everything I've seen him do, which is sometimes it's too fucking much.
Yeah.
This is so well tempered, and he's really nailed down into this is just the guy and how he is. And there is some showiness to it.
Yeah.
But it needs to be there. And, you know, just because he's a down home kind of guy doesn't mean isn't flair to his personality, because there's a lot of people who with big, big personalities.
Yeah.
And it looks fantastic. The script is great. It's written by Taylor Sheridan.
Okay.
Who
I feel like I know the name.
Sicario.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Pretty
amazing.
Good. Sicario. Nice job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of really tasteful dialogue here.
Okay.
Never gets too out of hand either. This movie knows that you've kind of been down this road before with a lot of characters like this, but it's not a complete just rehash of other things. There's obviously themes of today's landscape that are easy to lean into there, and they do in a tasteful way. It doesn't get out of hand.
Yeah.
It doesn't really take a stance. It's like kind of just a look, a little peephole into something. And it has its swings, so when some crazier shit does happen, it's really meaningful, and it's not glorified, and it catches you off fucking guard.
Cool.
And, man, yeah, just Jeff Bridges is so great in it. and it's good to see him in a really good movie.
Totally.
Which, unfortunately, it's been some duds for him lately.
Yeah, I think R.I.P.D. was the last great movie he was in.
Oh, God, that movie sucks. Yeah, that and the dragon fucking stupidness or whatever the fuck.
Dragon Sun.
Yeah,
some
dragon
shit.
Stupidness.
Yeah.
Starring Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. But this is just a nice, dusty crime story.
Yeah.
You know?
And
there's both sides are a little bit right. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of that going on.
I like
you
that.
And yeah, it's just the right kind of performance from, like, you know, you got Jeff Bridges, who's going to obviously be amazing. But Ben Foster bringing his thing down to a really nice controlled level, and Chris Pine backed up where he needs to be. Not like he needs to back his shit up in other performances, but he knows where he needs to sit with this character to have it resonate.
He backed that thing up.
And no, he's got
he backed up that big, a fun gibbouté.
there's a way to where this guy has to sit to make it resonate.
Yeah,
and, you know, he's up against some fairly heavy hitters that he's performing next to, and by being a little more reserved, there's a little more charisma and weight to him than I had seen in the past. You know?
Yeah,
so really good, beautiful looking movie, great dialogue. Terrific ending. Couldn't recommend it more.
Sweet.
One of the strongest movies from 2016, no question.
I'm leaving this recording session with a bunch of movies to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, just great.
Yeah.
I'm so happy with it. Like,
I feel like
so
it's going a little
it.
Under the radar. Like, I've seen lots it of good has. Reviews, but I haven't seen a lot of raves. I haven't seen a lot of coverage, but I've seen people saying...
Well, it's a small movie.
Yeah.
Everything I've seen about it is people going, you have to see this movie.
Yeah.
It's so great. It's
always a good...
But yeah, like...
It feels like a real word of mouth versus, like, getting pumped out there by the, you know, industry.
Yeah.
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 So spread the word.
Yeah. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So we're two for
Speaking of enjoying movies...
Yes.
Two for two.
Yeah.
Go on to number three.
Yeah.
Loved it. I had to watch True Memoirs of an International Assassin. This is a Kevin James joint. And it is about a man who is an author of a popular International Assassin style pulp book, who gets wrapped up in a real International Assassin like plot in his real life after some miscommunication.
So
arises.
Is he basically playing Kathleen Turner and Romancing the Stone?
Totally.
Great.
Definitely.
With a little bit of V.I. Warshawski.
Yeah.
Listen.
I saw that in the theater with my mom.
Oh, I came across a trailer for that or something, and I thought, I'd watch this, but then I read the reviews, and apparently it wasn't that great.
No, it isn't. But okay. I did see it with my mom.
And listen... I love Romancing the Stone.
Hey,
that is a fantastic
great movie.
Movie
fucking rules.
Totally holds up, too.
So good.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe another spin down that road might be worth it.
Why not?
So this script was actually a blacklist script.
Oh, really?
Years
ago.
Is
that right?
Yeah. So this was on the blacklist. It took a while to get made. And I will say that you can really tell that this movie, at one point in its life, was a blacklist script.
Yeah.
Because you can see how it would read on the page when it was written well before it likely got rewritten into oblivion because of the talent. Well, okay, I can't put this on Kevin James, but I feel like this script could have gone different ways, but the fact that it went down the, like, Adam Sandler-verse
route... Is this a Happy Madison?
I don't actually think it is.
Okay.
But it feels like it.
Yeah.
It feels like what he's doing on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
It feels like a really well put together straight to DVD movie. It feels not theatrical.
Yeah.
But it also feels like it's been, like I said, tailored to the star.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, even if this movie just had a different director and a different lead,
yeah,
it could have gone. You could have been like, "Hey, not bad."
Yeah,
but instead you went, "Hey, bad."
Yeah. All of his movies look kind of like cheaply made, straight to video, Sandler-verse. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. So it's about him. He's writing these books, and he's working as an accountant, and it has that thing where he goes to work and he gets shit on all day, like nobody likes him, and his boss sucks.
Yeah.
And then he's writing this book, and the first one, you know, he's trying to, like, get it. Actually, I don't know if he did have one that was a success. He's trying to, like, self-publish on the internet, basically. And he's writing this novel, and he has a friend who was in some real action back in the day. I don't know specifically if it was, like, war or, like, actually assassin or whatnot. But he gets this, like, story from him about a guy whose name was the Ghost or something, and says, "But don't use that in your book." And Kevin James goes, "I won't." And then, like, puts in the end of his book, "My name's the Ghost" or something. So then these people that actually are looking for the Ghost see the book or something when it gets published and decide, "This guy's the Ghost."
So they're like dummies.
Yeah, because there's a whole rigmarole that they have to go through. So basically some woman comes up to him in like a store and says, "Oh, you're writing a book, I overheard you, well, I publish it on the internet," and gets him published. But she says, "You got to change the title to True Memoirs instead of just Memoirs, because if it's like it's true, you'll get more readers." And he's like, "Oh, well, James Frey got screwed over because of that." And she's like, "Whatever, he's famous now." And so there's like a whole sort of turn of events to get it into people starting to think that he's actually this character.
Yeah.
But it's dumb.
Yeah,
sure.
And then
it's Kevin James. I assume at some point he goes, "I'm not the ghost."
Yeah. And so he ends up getting abducted, and he wakes up in Venezuela, and he teams up with like a DEA agent who needs help on a mission to take down some corrupt president. And
who else is in this movie?
I don't have the IMDb up. I got Kevin James written down here.
Yeah. You wrote his name down?
Yeah, there's some people. There's some people you might recognize in it. I feel like there's also a lot of straight from TV stars, I feel like.
Kim Coates is in there.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, Kim Coates also stars in that Officer Down movie.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that, but
no,
that's fine.
Not much to say other than it's just as unappealing as you would assume a film made by one of the guys from Slipknot would be.
Yeah.
If you can last more than 10 minutes, you're dumber than me.
Yeah, there's like some faces in this, but nothing that you're going to be like, oh, I got to, you know, can't believe they got them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of recognition.
Rob Riggle.
Yeah, yeah.
But how?
I know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Nothing against Rob Riggle. He makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He'll just do it.
Not very funny in this.
Andy Garcia.
Yeah.
Katie Couric as
Katie Couric?
Wow. Yeah, they do that kind of, he's being interviewed on TV, so we'll have some real, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the plot that he gets wrapped up in isn't enough to sustain a movie. It's just like, there's a president and some drugs, and they're all wealthy because of these drugs, and we're going to fight the drug dealing business, and we'll track them down and take them down, and I don't care.
I don't care either.
Yeah. And I would hate this movie more if it wasn't so boring and dull and not good. It's just not good. You're not going to watch this movie and be like, what a ridiculous bomb. It's terrible. You're like, no. It's competently directed. This thing is a straight-to-video style movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's some bad CGI helicopter scenes and stuff, but, kinda, like, whatever. Yeah. And everyone's giving it their all, and you can tell that they thought they had, like, a pretty good idea, which they probably did at one point.
Yeah.
But you can really tell that I keep not wanting to put this straight on Kevin James, but I really do feel like it's the kind of situation where the movie got watered down because they had to sort of tailor this kind of action adventure script towards somebody who's like, hey, I'm like a nice guy character. I played the King of Queens. And wouldn't it be funny if my nice guy character got wrapped up in an international intrigue? But there's no, they don't actually mine that for humor.
Yeah.
There isn't even a lot of like fish out of water stuff. It's just sort of like some bumbling through action scenes. There's no angle on it.
Well, yeah.
And it almost works at the beginning. Like, the movie opens with him writing the opening scene to his book, and you see it all playing out. And they do this, like, quirky thing where when he can't figure out what to write, the characters in the scene sort of start, like, hanging around and being like, what's this guy gonna write? Which is sort of like, whatever, but you can kind of see, okay, they kind of had an idea, and maybe this could have worked if it was the right cast. Like, you almost want to say, get a new cast and a new director, and maybe this movie would be better. It just doesn't work. And then you're stuck watching a mediocre movie, and you don't hate it, but you also don't like it. And it's just this weird limbo of movie watching.
I'm glad I wasn't in that limbo.
Yeah.
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 I'll probably skip this one.
Like, I feel like if I was to watch that Adam Sandler do-over action movie, I'd probably be like, this thing's crazy. How the fuck they make this? What's going on here? And this movie's just like, oh, no, yeah, I see why they did this, and didn't really work out.
No.
Cool.
Like, great.
It was on, and I watched it.
Yeah.
So there was that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I can't recommend it.
Yeah.
No.
No, no, no.
But I can recommend that we talk about the album we listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's unpack this bag.
Okay. So, Casey, why did you give us the album you gave us?
I gave you this album.
Five Alarm Funk.
Five Alarm Funk. Because a listener whose name is pronounced Aisha.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that pronunciation.
Right.
Gave it to us. Did not tell us whether she was an enthusiast of this band.
Five Alarm Funkist.
Whether she gave it to us because we historically do not care for this type of thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, you know what? Let's get honest with this thing.
Yeah.
Because I listened to 30 seconds of it, and I was like, yeah, I don't like this in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. So hopefully you didn't give this to us, you know, and like you or a family member or a best friend.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was like, are her friends in this band?
Well, yeah, because I don't want to be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Aisha, I hope it's your friends or anything. This is not a good record. Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah, I really didn't like this.
No.
And I understand, I will get out of the way at the beginning that everyone is, you know.
Do your thing,
do your
man.
Thing.
Sure.
And
sure.
There's
unless you're the spin doctors, you guys can just fucking quit it.
Stop doing everything.
If you dig it,
I don't
dig
care
it,
what your
man.
Job is, you're not doing it right, spin doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. If you're into this, then man, go crank it up and have a great time.
Yeah, yeah.
But fuck this.
Yeah, yeah. And where now it said in a there was a comparison like it's somewhere between Fishbone and Tower of Power. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insulting on two levels.
Well, yeah. And I don't hear it. I mean, both of those bands involve horns.
Yeah.
That's about the end of the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
This band, a couple times, get into a bit of a, like, skank.
Yeah.
Ish.
There, well, there's a
rhythm.
Thing that, like, there's something very Mighty Mighty Boston's going on here at times, you know? Or at least that energy, this sort of, like, frat funk or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's even more just kind of like outcast funk. Like, it's They have that kind of like we're a weird band of crazies.
Yeah, that's what I found the most distasteful about what I listened to was that I feel like they're a band that's like we're delightfully weird and that's why we make weirdo funk music.
Yeah,
but I'm
no,
this just sounds like any sort of fucking frat bullshit music.
Yeah,
it's one. There was a review on the Bandcamp that said something along the lines of like a caravan of gypsies on a one way trip to like Fun Town or something, or like barreling off a cliff or something. They said somebody had a review like that, and I thought no.
No.
And the album cover is an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
But it's the earth.
Oh.
Yeah.
I get it.
And the first song, We All Scream.
Jesus. That was a foreboding track.
I know, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
And it has these little, like, newscast, like, theme things going on.
Oh, God, really? Skits?
Yeah.
And they go to the center of the earth at one point, and then there's robots.
Yeah.
And then they attack, and then, there's, like, a real sort of loose, you know, through line that they're going for.
Yeah.
A diabolical journey to the center of the earth and subsequent destruction of the planet.
See, now, here's the thing. Is like, a lot of people get, like, a wah-wah guitar or know somebody who plays saxophone. And, like, funk music's really hard to play.
Yeah.
It's really hard to, well, let's listen. It's hard to write.
Yeah.
And I love a lot of funk. Maybe, I went through a funk phase, but it was funkadelic. It was Parliament.
Totally.
And then I got into some of the poppier stuff, like Average White Band and stuff like that. I can get down on that. Funkadelic's probably the best of that bunch.
Yeah.
There's some really terrific records. And
I think Sly was as close to funk as I ever got.
Sure. And I had a big Sly in the Family Stone phase. And that stuff, it's measured, and it goes in some weird directions because it can't just rely on you know, the one thing. And that's why, like, or like, you know, revival ska worked because they didn't rely on just the one thing. There was a lot of like interesting, you know, diversions going on. That's how you come up with a song like Ghost Town or something like that.
Yeah.
Specials. And that's why third wave ska was so garbage because it only just took the surface stuff. You know?
Yeah.
That's what how you get Goldfinger and the Real Big Fish and shit. you know, it's just like not getting the whole picture.
Yeah.
Like a lot of funk, anything funky really that's come in a bunch of years doesn't really get the whole picture. Or if you're going to go the other way, if you're going to be a weird band, you've got to be as weird but as talented as Mr. Bungle, or as weird and as talented as Gogo Bordello.
Yeah.
And that stuff is weird and wacky, but it's not easy to do.
But there's an intention. Like, the weirdness with those bands is a byproduct of what the intention is.
Yeah.
It's not just like, ooh, we're going to be so weird.
Yeah.
I felt like there was some Gogo Bordello in here a little, like, kind of playing that vibe.
Yeah.
I find anybody that does funk, and if it's not 1978 or something, that's doing funk past the 80s, even in the 80s, it becomes really hard to write.
Yeah.
There have been modern acts that I felt have done some pretty good throwback funk stuff, but it really has to be right.
But I think modern production really prohibits cool sounding funk. Like, I don't know. I would agree with that, absolutely. That sounds too polished, just ends up sounding like, you know, the Red Hot Chili Peppers or some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
There needs to be a grittiness that just isn't there in modern production.
Yeah,
I didn't like it. Just didn't like it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I really hope you just were giving us this.
Yeah. Please let us know, too, so we can either apologize. Be relieved or feel terrible.
Yeah.
But keep doing your thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you wanna.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
And fucking whatever. If you get something out of it, then that's amazing.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's great.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Don't let us stop you.
Or if this is your jumping off point, maybe if this is someone's first experience with things that are funky.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, take the suggestion of Fishbone to Tower of Power. The Fishbone's a fantastic band.
Just
listen to Fishbone. Very funky. A bunch of other things, too. And Tower of Power, Back to Oakland is a terrific record. That's a great horn section. But yeah, go listen to Funkadelic. Listen to how Eddie Hazel plays guitar.
Yeah.
You know, get Maggot Brain.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
I only heard four alarms.
Oh, the fifth alarm is at the very end.
Oh, after the, yeah. Okay, after the...
Well, because you're so alarmed that you sat through the whole album.
Oh. We're ending it right there. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Punishment album time.
Yeah.
I could give you guys anything.
Anything. Yeah.
Whatever I want.
The world is your oyster.
I know. So I went, as usual, all over the map on this one. But something caught my ear recently that I want to give you guys. And I honestly, this is another Dan situation where I literally have zero idea how this is going to react.
Right.
I'm giving you something that I have heard. It's an album from this year.
Yeah.
I think it is one of the better albums of the year.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how you guys are going to react to it.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you guys an album by an artist named Kate Tempest and her album Let Them Eat Chaos. Which is one of the better albums this year. And I will say it's a dense album.
Yeah.
Very dense.
Okay.
And it took me some paying attention to get the full experience of this.
Kate what?
Kate Tempest.
Tempest.
Yes.
Tempest Bledsoe.
Newest album. latest album.
Tempest Bledsoe with her album, Keisha Knight Pulliam.
So yeah, her album from this year, 2016. Very good.
Yep.
Very interested into what you guys feel. I'm not going to tell you too much about it. I'll just let you see what's up.
Okay, cool. Excited. Interested, let's say.
I'm interested.
Let's slow down here.
You did mention that I would have to pay attention, and I'm not good at paying attention to things right now. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So go for it.
Download.
All right.
Done. Got it.
Oh, yeah. I will say, last thing, this is a good commuting. This is a good world passing you by album.
Great.
Yeah.
My favorite. Okay. Yeah.
I love
listening to music in transit.
Yeah. So we are going to roll. We haven't discussed it, but are we going to do another winner's choice?
I think we have to.
And are we going to do a little violin?
What is that
violin
movie called? Yeah, violin dance-a-thon?
I don't know what that was called.
Something. It's got some kind of... There's a play on some word in there.
It was a violin movie about a violin player and a hip-hop violin player.
Right.
I'm going to Google hip-hop violin movie.
Yeah.
Muvo. High Strung.
That's it.
2016.
Yeah.
We saw this on the internet pop up, the poster, getting 48 on Metascore right now, when a hip-hop violinist busking in the New York subway...
violinist.
...encounters a classical dancer on a scholarship.
Yeah.
Sparks fly.
This is crazy. It sounds like someone made a Punishment movie for us.
Yeah.
It has everything. It's got a dance-off.
They gotta find common ground.
He's not a trumpet busker.
A violin busker.
All this movie needs is for someone to be upside down, and it would be a fucking home run.
Yeah. See the music.
Yeah.
Hear the dance.
Oh,
what?
I will.
That is the tagline to High Strung.
Yeah. I almost want to lose.
Yeah.
This is so stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. Pretty stupid. High Strung, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Hello. Okay. For the listeners, we have
unprecedented.
This is a new one. We're gonna have to have a reroll. Dan just lost, but because we didn't catch it.
Yeah.
On the recording had stopped.
The drama was
I don't
lost.
Know. We have to I don't know what happened. Oh, I definitely didn't go re- like okay. turn it off or anything.
It's meant All right. I believe it was meant to be.
It was yeah. meant to be.
And Dan will lose.
All right, Casey.
Okay.
Casey's rolling.
We're really re-rolling just so Greg can watch the yeah. dance movie.
That's a five. Greg.
Nine.
That's a nine.
Meant to be. Danny G.
That's a nine.
Oh boy.
Casey.
Looks yeah, like I'm Casey. Watching violin nipples.
Casey's getting high strung.
Look at that picture. Yeah, look this up on IMDb. Yeah, very nice. Good.
All right,
good
then.
Good gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with that, that is the end of Film Roulette.
Uh-huh.
Please listen to that Kate Tepes album, and we'll be back with Winner's Choice and High Strung
yeah.
next week.
Yeah.
But for now, it is time for another freshly squeezed episode of Aren't You Glad It's the OC Corner.
Welcome to the OC, bitch. And this is how it's done in Orange County.
As always, we will be talking about an episode of season one of the OC. We're getting to the end, and we will be relaying the information.
We've got, what, two, three episodes left?
I think there's
left?
Only one, or yeah.
And there's only two.
Yeah. So, Greg, you watched the last episode was The Proposal.
Right. This is The Shower.
The Shower.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Sounds steamy.
Yeah. Well, this episode, like all the episodes that I watch anyway, starts in the kitchen. It's morning. Banter, blah, 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 blah. Ryan and Seth talk about Julie and Caleb getting married. Mom comes in, is being all like blah, blah, blah about it because she thinks it's stupid.
Okay.
And then Eyebrows shows up and he's being all glib about it and like, well, I don't know, whatever. The crazy kids can do what they want to do. And he's like, Caleb's not so bad anymore because he's going to give them a bunch of money now to bail them out of their restaurant hall, right? And so mom's like, oh, but you're just happy about the money. He's like, yeah. He's okay now. I don't give a fuck. And then Seth's like, so if this goes down, that means that Julie is now your stepmom.
Yeah.
So then right after that, Teresa, Ryan's ex, calls Eyebrows.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'll get Ryan. She's like, no, I don't want to talk to Ryan. I want to talk to you. And he's like, oh. And she's like, we need to meet and chat.
Meet and chat.
Do not tell Ryan. And he's like, all right.
He hates it when I chat.
Yeah.
He forbids it.
And he's like, she's like, I have a legal question.
Okay.
And he's like, okie dokie. So he's going to meet up with her. So Julie comes by to visit Kristen, to, you know, talk about putting together all the wedding junk and stuff like that. And she has all these like, who thought it was going to be so hard to whip together a wedding, blah, 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 blah. And Kristen's got other things going on. She's kind of exasperated by the whole thing. And, she's like, anyway, I need you to host the shower. And Kristen's like,
great.
Because you're going to be my maid of honor. And she's like, which is weird. No one wants to be that. And she's like, okay, I'll do it. She's like, but I want something elegant. No, you know, lingerie and craziness. Mm-hmm. It'll be a couple's shower.
Yeah.
And we'll be tasteful and have a great time. She's like, okay. So then Marissa's involved in this in some way. I don't know how she got looped into it, but apparently she's involved in something with the shower tube but doesn't want to be, and I don't know why she would be. Because her mom totally just fucked her boyfriend.
Totally.
Yeah. Anyway, and so just now, okay, I got to piece a couple of things together here that maybe I don't remember. So there's some bribery going on towards Marissa to be living with her dad.
Yeah, so that happened last episode. Yeah. I told you guys about
that. Did you tell us this?
Absolutely. But I told you that I didn't understand why. So basically, Caleb came to her and said, I'm going to help them with the legal problem they're having with alcohol. And if I do that, you have to live with your mom because she needs that. And my question was, from the scene in the last episode, I didn't understand what he had over her.
No, I don't either.
Like,
I can't imagine.
I was kind of like, if she says no, what's he going to do?
Is that it?
I guess.
I don't know. It's all very unclear. And also, all right. So, anyway, she's involved in the shower. I don't know why. Seems stupid. But her and Ryan are back together.
Yeah.
And things are going terrifically.
They seemed like they were sort of back together in the last episode. I think maybe they just unceremoniously have just been on again.
Now they're together, and they're having a terrific time at the arcade, smoochy face and everything.
Yeah. Oh, good for them.
Yeah. Well, you would think so, but Seth is like, this is weird. She's supposed to be crying somewhere, and he's supposed to be brooding, and neither one of those things is happening.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You fourth wall breaking.
Yeah.
Show commenting.
And Summer gets a phone call on her cell phone. It's her dad, and they have a real buddy-buddy chit-chat. He's like, that's how you talk to your dad? She's like, yeah, my dad's my best friend. He's like, weird.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've never met your dad. I want to meet your dad. Let's meet your dad. And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, parents love me. Let's have lunch with their dad.
So they set it up.
Yeah.
Nobody loves Seth.
Yeah. Nobody. Not even his own parents. They think it's weird that he has a girlfriend. Eyebrows goes and visits Teresa, who is sporting her brand new black eye.
Yes.
So Eddie Narrowface is, not his fiance. And she's like, listen, he lost his job. He's been really stressed out. He was drinking a lot. And it happened. And I want to know what would happen to him, how far things would go if I pressed charges.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, there could be jail time or a restraining order or something like that. And she's like, I don't know what to do.
They're not married yet.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's what's going on there. But she doesn't want Ryan to find out because he'll go nuts, of course. And so Seth is feeling very confident about meeting Summer's dad. And it's like the male bonding is going to go great. And he's like, well, I want to know about his hobbies. I want to know what he's like. And she doesn't really give him too much to go
on. Okay.
Then Tate Donovan, old Jim, whatever his name, I don't even know what his, I cannot remember his character's name. Tate Donovan.
Jimmy Tate
is making out with Haley. Things are going hot and heavy.
Yeah.
Getting into it. And then just as they're wrapping it up, like, we better not go too far here, and people are going to visit us, and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Of course, the age-old fun time of the OC, somebody walks in when they shouldn't.
Hey, drinking game.
Yeah, Drake. Marissa rolls in, and they're all like, oh, she was just here to fix my faucet? And it's really awkward and stupid. And then she's like, oh, you guys got to work on your improv. She knows what's going on. She's like, no, Dad, I'm happy for you. Mm-hmm. Happy is what I am. But then she goes and stands in the mirror and looks sad at herself. And he's like, aw, what's up? And she's just worried about the wedding and what it means and all this and that. And blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, I think it's going to be great. And all the money coming in now from the restaurant thing and blah. Grandpa Sex is totally going to bail me out.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Blah, blah, blah. And I don't give a fuck. Seth and Summer and Ryan and Marissa are all sitting around talking about him meeting the parent, the dad, and there's a lot of like gross, unappealing, irritating Seth improv-y acting going on here where he's just like whacking, you know.
Dick. He's whacking.
Yeah, he's wacky and just like yucking it up. And they're all like, hey, you're a ham. We love it. It's really just terrible.
Yucking it up didn't get us away from. No.
Yeah.
He's whacking it up and yacking it off.
Yacking.
Yeah. So Eyebrows tells Kristen about Teresa and her black eye, and she's like, what did Ryan say? And he's like, nothing, I didn't tell him. She's like, oh, you gotta tell him. He's like, no, I don't think so, because he's just gonna go down there and beat the shit out of
Definitely.
Eddie, and that's gonna break his probation, and then he's gone.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like something.
And she's like, oh, fuck, you're right. And so Ryan comes in and is like, hey, bros, what's up? And they're like,
nothing. Talking about how level-headed you are.
Yeah. So Ryan and Seth talk about meeting Dad.
I was just jacking it off.
I mean, yucking it up.
Either way, I made a mess.
Ryan and Seth are talking about meeting Dad and what to wear. Marissa shows up to see Ryan, and he's like, your mom's here.
Right? Yeah.
He's like, your mom's here. And she's like, oh, I have to face her sometimes, I guess. And she goes into the kitchen and sees her, and then it's awkward, and Julie takes off.
Okay.
And so Marissa's going to help out Kristen with the shower, and Kristen's like, wow, I went through the list, and there's, like, none of Julie's family here. And she's like, yeah, she doesn't really speak to her parents. Just old Aunt Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, great, let's contact her. And Marissa's like, ooh, she looks coy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
No.
So what's going to happen here?
Yeah, something. Caleb gives Eyebrows and Jimmy Tate a check.
Okay.
I don't know if he gives him two checks, but anyway, he gives him $2.5 million.
Okay. This is for the liquor license, though?
Huh? I think this is like the... I don't think they're doing the restaurant anymore.
Oh.
Oh, he's just bailing them out.
I think so.
Giving them the money that they lost.
Right.
And also buying his ex-wife.
Right. Yeah. Which I found super weird, because he's talking about the wedding stuff coming up and having to do stuff for the shower. And Jimmy Tate's like, cool, thanks for the money, bro.
Yeah.
Enjoy my wife. Yeah, it's been, that hasn't even been a year, or like it's been a few months.
Yeah.
Weird as fuck. Anyway.
Yeah, later.
Yeah, great. I'm all dead inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm only here for the money.
I don't know how to feel. Yeah.
And he's great. He's like, I never wanted to do the restaurant anyway. And
okay.
The eyebrows is like, well, I thought we were going to use the restaurant to get you back on your feet, not just get a check from this old man who was banging
and they
your
were
wife.
So they were cool. No, like they were that. Ready to open,
ready to go. And then he's like, no, this is better. And he's like, now we don't have to make meatloaf.
Yeah.
And he's like, and you can do what you do. You can focus on your work, saving kids and stuff. That's your jam. And he's like, yeah,
you know,
I guess
your
so.
Superhero sideline.
Yeah. So Aunt Cindy shows up, and she is super annoying. And
okay.
She's kind of trampy, and she's telling all kinds of scandalous stories about her and Julie being young and trampy.
Is she played by anyone notable?
No. I don't think so, anyway. I didn't recognize her.
Sure.
And she like smokes, just starts smoking in the house.
Oh, come
like, you
on.
Can't do that. And she's like, whatever. And then... she hasn't talked to Julie in 7 years. The last time she was there, she was just told to get out. So Marissa did this just to stick it to Ma.
Okay.
Because Julie shows up and she's like, what the hell are you doing here? And she's like, Marissa invited me. She's like, did she? And she's like, bye. And then there's just icy stares across the room. So Seth has lunch with Summer's dad. And Summer's there too. And it's real awkward.
Yeah.
And then he really awkwardly talks about comic books the whole time. And it goes super bad. And it's really unpleasant to watch. As a viewer. it's awkward. And they make it awkward. Not fun awkward. And you're not like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. It's just like, ugh. This is fucking painful. Make him shut up. So, Tate and Haley are walking up to, the other people's house. And they're kind of like, we got to tell them what's going on because it's great. And then at the last second, they're like, wait, no, there's too much going on. We can't tell them now. Let's just make out of their doorway instead. And, of course, the door opens. Drink, because Kirsten and Julie are both there. And they're like, what? Look at the kissing.
Oh, no. That's how you do it?
Yeah, and they're like, what? So Ryan and Marissa go to get the cake for the shower.
Yeah.
And it turns out that's where... Teresa is doing some little catering work at his cake shop. And so, of course, Ryan sees the black eye.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, yeah. And just, of course, freaks out. And so then Eyebrows is going to go see Eddie.
Okay.
He's like, I'm going to go talk to this kid. And he's like, but she's like, it's the day of the shower. He's like, I don't care. I can't let this go out of control.
Yeah.
And then he goes and talks to Ryan about it. And Ryan's like, should have told me, man. And he's like, what? Why should I tell you? Because you're just going to go beat him up.
Yeah.
It's going to screw everything up, and you're not going to change or help anything.
Right.
You can't help her like this.
Yeah.
You know, it's not your job. And he's like, shit on me.
Sorry, he said, shit on some of me. Tell me next time.
Yeah. Seth and Summer awkwardly talk about the experience of having lunch with her dad. She's kind of distant and weird about it, doesn't get into details.
Okay.
And then Ryan talks to Teresa, and he's like, Shit, Tama. And she's like, you would have tried to kill him. And this is my problem, not yours. And I'm like, yeah, but you did go talk to his... owner or whatever Eyebrows is, you know, getting a little close to not wanting to tell him anyway. And he's like, you're not going to stay with him, are you? And she's like, I'm going to take self-defense. I just can't cry anymore.
What?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She's like, oh, my God. Anyway, so then she comes inside with Ryan, and Kristen's like, you should come to the shower. And she's like, I have a black eye. She's like, I have some foundation and concealer. And she's like, okay. And then Marissa shows up, like, kind of like the last, it's almost a drink. She walks in, but kind of not. She's like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
Teresa.
Teresa.
Tessa.
Tessa.
If I understand, it's shit time.
That's what I keep thinking.
Marissa tries to be nice, and she's like, yeah, you should come to the shower. And then, what do we got going on here? We're at the party.
Okay.
And another episode with a fucking event.
So many
That's
events.
All they do.
I know, so many parties. Anyway, at the party, Julie is watching her dumb sister Cindy kind of flirt with Grandpa Sex.
Oh.
And she's like, flirting with her sister's boyfriend, just like it's grade seven again. And Julie, sorry, Kristen, is looking at Haley making out with Tate. And she's like, I know what you mean.
We're a weird family.
Yeah, this is all a little fucked up. So, what's going on here? Marissa goes off to sulk somewhere. Teresa follows her. And she's like, listen, sorry I'm here. I feel like I'm making things weird. She's like, no, it's not your fault. And she's like, listen, Ryan seems really happy, and that's totally because of you, and that's great, and that's why I didn't want to fuck things up. But here I am fucking things up.
Yeah.
So Ryan finds Marissa and Teresa talking, and he's like, hey, what's going on? And then Teresa's phone rings, and it's Eddie.
Okay.
And he's like, you talking to him? You talking to
him? You still talking to him?
And she's like, he's just probably calling to apologize again. And he's like, and then he takes the phone from her and picks it up, and he's like, leave her alone. And she takes his phone and is like, what are you doing? And he goes nuts.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, tell me this is the first time. Blah, blah, blah. And then Marissa's just standing there like, what in the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
He's just like getting, losing his mind. I'm like, dude, you suck.
Totally.
And then he storms out.
Off the handle.
Yeah, I know. And off he goes. He storms out. And then Aunt Cindy is telling all kinds of embarrassing stories about Julie at the shower. And she's like, they're playing a game. How well do you know?
Oh.
And she's like, what's Julie's favorite food? And one of her friends is like, it's lobster bisque, something or other. And she's like, no, it's a greasy double cheeseburger. Bam.
Whoa.
Truth bomb.
Ouch.
And then she's like, who's her first love? And they say something or other. She's like, nope, it's the whole offensive line of the high school football team.
Ew.
She just turned into like the attitude of like a hair metal.
No, she's totally like a hair metal chick. Yeah, that was her thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so Ryan's going to go get Eddie. And to do that, he takes Marissa's keys because he's going to use her car. Weird. Anyway, he's about to take off. Eyebrows stops him and he's like, this is not your job to do.
Everybody uses her car.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we got to go save someone.
Yeah, yeah. Steal her car. And he's like, you can't do this, Ryan. You cannot.
Yeah.
He's like, why not? And he's like, because you're not the one who's going to make this guy suddenly change.
Because you're a fucking
it's
idiot, Ryan.
Job. Leave it alone. And he's like, gotta go. And he goes.
Gotta go. You don't understand. Gotta go. Shit. Toby, gotta go.
Wee! Off he goes. Tate goes and talks to Kristen, and Kristen's like, Haley's just using you like she does. She's using you to get back at me. And he's like, this isn't about you, and we're doing great, and I'm happy. You should be happy for me. I've never been so happy. Happy, happy, happy.
Look at how happy I am.
This is real. And she's like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Julie and Cindy talk, and Julie's like, what are you here for? You want money? She's like, no, I don't want money. I just miss you. And I used
to
know you.
Talk about cheeseburgers.
I don't know who you are anymore, and I miss you. You know, we were gonna go move to LA and marry rock stars and stuff like that, but then you moved to the beach without me.
Ugh.
Yeah, and she's like, whatever. And she's like, you probably don't even want me at your wedding. And then Caleb walks in, and he's like, nah, you're coming to the wedding. Now get out of here. It's gonna be great.
I gotta take my pills.
Yeah, yeah. Julie's like, so I guess today was very revealing. And he's like, listen, there's nothing that I could find out about you that would make me change my mind.
Except that. Cheeseburger thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot deal.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. So Summer has been avoiding Seth all day, and then finally they talk, and he's like, this is because I bombed with your dad, right? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, next time I'll be better. And she's like, I don't know. Like, my dad doesn't want me to date you. My dad is never wrong. And he's like, the only thing that matters, though, is me and you, right?
Yeah.
And she goes, I gotta go.
Oh, no. And she's going to date her dad instead?
Yeah, probably.
I got to go.
She takes off. And he's like, duh. So Ryan shows up, not at Eddie's place, but where Teresa's staying. He talks, and he's like, I realized Eddie wasn't the one I needed to talk to. For some reason, this auto-corrected for me. I realized Eddie wasn't the one I beefed talk to.
I was going to give him a real straight beef talk.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm going to beef talk you.
Yeah. And she's like, he's like, just leave him. She's like, I can't because Chino is my whole life. He's like, it was mine too. And he's like, yeah, but I don't have a rich family that's ready to adopt me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what am I supposed to do? And he's like, stay with the Coens.
Find one.
Yeah.
He's like, stay with the Coens. She's like, isn't that a little fucking weird? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, dude, it's weird. Don't do it. This isn't your fucking fight. Where are we here? So then he shows up back at home with her, and the Coens are like, of course you can stay.
Yeah.
You'll stay in the beach house, and Ryan will sleep with Seth. And they're like, great, this will be fun. So I can't see anything going wrong.
Well, now that Summer's dating her dad, Seth and Ryan can hook up.
Yeah. So Marissa comes over and finds out.
They can have a real beef talk of their own.
So Marissa comes over and she's like, so Teresa's staying. Like, yeah. And Teresa, and then Kristen's like, you know, he loves you. You know, like, it doesn't have anything to do with that. And she's like, no, I know. It's good. It's okay. And Ryan and Seth talk a little bit about everything. And he's like, yep, Summer and me, not good. And so Ryan's like, I'm sorry I bailed on the thing. He's like, I'm not the person you should be directing any of your conversation to.
Yeah.
You totally bailed on Marissa. That's who you got to talk to. And he's like, yeah. So Ryan and Marissa talk out at the pool, and he's sorry. And she's like, it's okay. You know what? It's okay. And he's like, I think we're going to be fine.
Okay.
And she's like, yeah, me too. And then it fades out on both of them looking in different directions like, it's not going to be fine. Fade out, and that's the end of the episode.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm bored with this. No, will they? Won't they?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. Maybe they won't.
Maybe they won't again.
And that episode was called...
The Shower.
The Shower.
The Shower. Beef Shower.
The Beef Shower. Ew.
Oh,
that really sounds like one of those sophomoric sex moves that people create.
The Shower.
Yeah.
Beef Shower is when you...
Yeah. Somebody totally gave me a Toledo Beef Shower.
So
Toledo, a Tijuana beef.
Tijuana, oh man, had to go south of the border for that one.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Music this week: "Met a Girl Like You Once" by Zach Hexum.
Don't recall.
"Keep It Clean" by Camera Obscura.
I will not.
Right Now by Motion Worker, spelled M-O-C-E-A-N. Get it?
Great. What?
Like motion.
Oh my God, that's so fucking
That's
horrible.
One of the worst band names I've ever heard.
Oh my God.
And "Nine Lives" by South.
Not a clue.
Casey,
what?
Resident song singer.
Yep.
How Since do you what? Think "Right Now" by Motion Worker goes?
I think it goes, right now, no tomorrow.
Hey, it's a cover.
Yeah.
Met a girl like you once. Oh, yeah.
Shut up.
And keep it clean. The Camera Obscura. All right. That was the Shower episode of the OC. Yeah. We got a couple more, and then we'll be done.
Yeah, with this season.
Yeah, with this season. I think we're going to do, as you mentioned in the past, we'll all watch the last episode.
Yeah.
And check it out.
Yeah.
Totally. And that
maybe
brings...
Maybe with the last episode. Remember how we watched the ABCs of Death? We watched it over Facebook. Messenger. Maybe we'll
we
do
should
that
sync
maybe,
it up.
Maybe, yeah.
That way we'll all have corresponding notes.
It's just like FaceTime all at the same time. Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. That's a fun idea.
Right.
So that's the end of the episode.
Right.
Pretty good.
Remember to rate and review us on iTunes.
Yes.
Go to modernsuperior.com. Listen to all the other shows. Lots of stuff up there. New episode of Surface Noise, Changing Reels, Frame Apart, Flight School, lots of stuff. You can email us at info@modernsuperior.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC.
Yeah.
And as always, we'll see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet.
Bye. It was nice beef talking to you.
Nice beef. Don't yak all over. What was it? What was the other one? Yakking and yakking and jacking.
Thanks for yakking your beef with us.
Shut up.
Zoop. This episode has been brought to you by the Modern Superior Podcast Network.